The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. Busy show ahead. It's one of those shows I really look forward to, and I've got cool guests that are coming up. Trent Murphy, former Brophy Bronco, Stanford Cardinal, absolute terror on the defensive side of the football, likely NFL first-round pick. The question is how high? Back from the combine, getting it done. Trent Murphy joins us in about 15 minutes. At the bottom of the hour, Eddie Johnson, Jump Shot Club, EJ, Suns analyst, all things NBA with Eddie Johnson. Kevin Durant is in the Valley tonight. Today, would EJ vote for Kevin Durant or LeBron James as his MVP? When you have Kevin Durant in the Valley against the Suns tonight, the focus will be on Oak City and the Suns. Goody at the Movies today. Let's bring him up a day early. Bill Goody Koontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Always good to catch up with Goody. Some things we get into on the movie end, sometimes just other stuff that's going on. Tom Verducci is going to join us in hour number two. Always like talking with Tom. Lead baseball analyst now with Fox Net, along with Harold Reynolds. They're going to be part of the national broadcast this year, so we'll talk with Tom Verducci, senior baseball writer with Sports Illustrated. So some great national names and local names all sprinkled in. That's what we are all about here at Sports 360 AZ. We are Arizona-centric. Appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic. Eric Sorensen now, chief executive vice president, sometimes of everything, sometimes of nothing, has our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running.
As you mentioned, Brad, big night tonight in Phoenix. The Coyotes have a big game, and the Suns have a big game against the Thunder and Kevin Durant, who is sort of must-see TV. But today we ask you, is he must-see in person? What superstar, past or present, did slash do you not mind spending the big dollars to go see when they roll through Phoenix?
Well, that's a hard one.
Not really. It's pretty easy
sure
when you think
is.
Back on
if
it.
If you're a hockey fan, back in the day, you'd want to go see Mario Lemieux.
Yep.
And as time progressed, if you're a Blackhawks fan, when Brett Hull was on the ice, you wanted to go see the Now, in this day and age, it's Sidney Crosby. So you could just go right down the list through the years.
There's Michael Jordan back in the day. For me, personally,
yeah.
When the Cowboys came to town, my friends and I would save up our money to go see the Triplets when the Triplets were in their prime. Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith. Plus, it was like a Cowboys home game at Sun Devil Stadium anyway.
Still is
so.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah. Well, let me think. On the NBA end, since we're NBA-ish, how many guys would I be willing to pay to go see?
LeBron.
Now, LeBron and Wade, sure, I'd go see the Heat. I do not need to go see the Lakers unless Kobe is on the floor. I need to see Golden State. I'd pay to go see Golden State. I watch, I'll base this off what I watch. What I find myself stopping and saying, hey, it's Charlotte playing. Boy, mm-hmm. I really need to see the Bobcats. No, that doesn't happen. I don't watch them. The Suns actually are a team that I would pay to watch. I don't think I'd pay to sit on the floor to watch them, but I think they're kind of fun. Okay.
Back in the day, in our former lives, we could say.
What are you talking about, former lives?
Well, former lives. We're kind of reunited, and it feels so good. I mean, Mark McGwire back in the heyday of Chicks Dig the Long Ball, that was must see. I mean, people would shell out pretty big money. Sammy Sosa.
It's not
sure.
that way anymore. Have you noticed? I've checked this out. This is kind of a rant here. That the spring training games so far that I see on television, not many people are going to the games.
You know why?
The attendance numbers are going to be fine. But
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Saturday, my future marital partner and myself are looking to go take in a spring training game with some of her friends. Bleacher seats, lawn seats for Saturday, the Giants game.
Yeah.
$60 a piece.
Now, see, that's...
You go on Sunday, they're $12 a piece.
Yeah.
But if you go on Saturday, $60 a piece to sit in the lawn to watch relief pitchers run around the warning track.
Number 93.
Exactly.
All right. I digress here. Head over to Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. Like our page, share our input. That's Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. Let's get you caught up on some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. I was talking to my good buddy Steve Arie this morning, and he said it's supposed to be in the 60s this weekend. up in the White Mountains. Imagine that. Go play some golf, maybe. If you want to head up to Sunrise and do some snowboarding, some sledding. And then, of course, March Madness is right around the corner. But the place to stay, the Honda Resort and Casino. You can pull down on the slots, have some great winnings, have some fun, eat some food, get away, get relaxed, get recharged. All in the White Mountains. That's the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top, the Honda Resort and Casino. Trent Murphy talking NFL draft in about 8 minutes. Good local story. Appreciate Trent Murphy coming on board. So the Diamondbacks, and I'll get over to Oklahoma City here in a second, but you know how we're talking about what are the Diamondbacks going to do with Archie Bradley and how's the fifth spot going to be in the rotation and what are they going to do? Well, as usual, injury. Bronson Arroyo has an inflamed disc in his back. He's out 7 to 10 days. Kevin Towers had some quotes making it sound like it wasn't that big of a deal. Anytime you're dealing with a back, I've had back surgery. Anytime you're dealing with a back, that's not good. And so you don't know. You think you may know, but it only takes one setback. So he's out 7 to 10 days. So here's the Archie Bradley angle now. Or do you want to see Randall Delgado? End of question. That could have been the Facebook question of the day. Who do you want to see replace Bronson Arroyo, Randall Delgado or Archie Bradley? I think it would be 99.9% Archie Bradley fans. So there's a bit of a concern there. As for the Suns, here is Jeff Hornacek on what his team is going to be facing tonight in downtown Phoenix against the Thunder.
We got some great players on that team. Obviously, Durant's a handful, Westbrook, and now, getting back and getting his rhythm. And we got veteran guys in Collison and Fisher, and they're a tough team.
So the Thunder have the best record right now in the Western Conference. The Suns are tied for the last playoff spot as we sit here today. And if they played Oklahoma City, do they have anybody at all that could match up with Kevin Durant? I look at matchups. Tonight, to me, is somewhat of a, if you're going to be in the postseason, what would it look like for the Suns to play against the Thunder? Is it P.J. Tucker? Is it Markieff Morris? Is it Channing Frye? Is it a combination of all the above? Is it somebody else that comes along? The Thunder are so good. They're so much fun to watch. If I'm talking MVP of the NBA this season, we could do this as a poll question. I have lots and lots and lots of you log on and check it out. But as you're driving around or taking the show in, if you're going to talk MVP this year, what has Kevin Durant done for his team that has made him an MVP winner over LeBron James? To me, it's quite simple. Westbrook has been hurt for a good portion of this season. Durant has still gone out and done his thing. Kevin Durant plays in a very, very, very tiny little market in Oklahoma City while LeBron James is LeBron James. Every one of LeBron's games gets all the attention. Kevin Durant puts on a mask. Yeah, it'll show up on SportsCenter, but it's not going to be taken to the extreme and run through the national media as much as LeBron James. So the marketing hype you have to put over to the side and say, who has done more for their team or been the most valuable player? LeBron James is the MVP of the NBA if you're talking about the best player who's done the most for their team this season as an MVP. Please don't tell me it's Goran Dragic. They're barely on the playoff end. He deserves some votes, but come on. Kevin Durant is the MVP as we sit here today on the 6th day of March. That's about it. We'll see if it changes. But nonetheless, we have an MVP candidate in the Valley tonight who is big time, and I'm very much looking forward to it. There's a story I'm going to get to a little bit later in the show about a kid named Lewis Corbett, who you've never heard of, but you will, and you'll see his story everywhere, probably starting as the day progresses today. Lewis Corbett by tonight will be on the nightly news. Eric, do you know who I'm talking about with Lewis Corbett? Have you heard this story yet?
Nope.
All right. That's good. Lewis Corbett is a 12-year-old. And I will tell you why his story. You will see it everywhere, and he will be part of everything on the media end as the day progresses. U of A last night. So U of A basketball, they've already wrapped up the Pac-12. We already know their game tips off next Thursday at noon in Las Vegas. They are in this spot of, we just got to get through sitting around Oregon for a few days and play these games. That's where they are. Last night, third-ranked team in the nation. They looked okay, but they had to get some offense late.
McConnell for three, rims out, no good. Offensive rebound, Nick Johnson. No shot there, turn around, throw it to McConnell. McConnell out to York. He'll launch the three. Got it. Fourth tray for Gabe York.
And U of A would go on and win by a score of 74-69. Cats with a victory there. We'll get into that a little bit further. But up next, Trent Murphy, former Stanford Cardinal, former Brophy Bronco, likely first-round pick. He's going to be a first-round pick. It's just a question to me of how high. Trent Murphy joins us next as he prepares for the upcoming NFL draft. Eddie Johnson, Suns color analyst, joins us in about 25 minutes on Kevin Durant being in the Valley tonight. We'll have Goody at the movies in about a half hour. And Tom Verducci, senior baseball writer with Sports Illustrated and Fox, he joins us in hour number two on the Diamondbacks and much more. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360az.
Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat across the great state of Arizona, or however you're taking us in. Thanks for being on board. In about 15 minutes, Eddie Johnson will join us, Suns color analyst tonight. Kevin Durant in the Valley, big matchup for the Suns against Oklahoma City. Later, Goody at the movies, and Tom Verducci, Sports Illustrated, a senior writer, and now doing the analyst work on Fox. Look forward to visiting with Tom Verducci. He's bumping around the Cactus League today. Trent Murphy joins us now for a couple of minutes, former Brophy Bronco, former Stanford Cardinal. We've had Trent on this show numerous times. I'm not going to belabor the point of how he ended my son's high school career because he's heard that story before. But people still bring that up to me when they said, did he really do that? I said, no, yeah, he ear-holed him and nailed him, and my son deserved it. So it's over. Trent is now so big that he writes for Fox. He's doing a blog on his draft diaries, Trent Murphy's Path to the NFL, I saw last night when I was getting ready for this interview. Would you rather do NFL stuff or talk about, the stuff with the rodeo that you've done when you were a kid? I mean, you're being poked and taken apart, I guess, and everybody wants to know every last bit of you. Are you comfortable with everybody knowing all of your business?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty comfortable with it. I mean, I think kind of the most important part about this process is while everyone's kind of poking and prodding and getting to know your business, I mean, they're getting to know you as a person, getting to know you as a player. They want to know kind of what kind of character you are. So it's just, you got to basically relay your personality and your message to them, how you want them to see you and kind of represent yourself and what you've become as a player, and let the coaches see kind of your true personality. And so that's kind of what the combine is all about. And that's why they, keep you up all night and try and make it a high stress situation, because they want your true character to come out and don't want you to kind of basically be able to, fake a personality for 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you crack? Did you have that moment? Like, I can't handle this. Just enough of you guys. I've been asked the same question. Did you find yourself saying, man, I got to stay focused. I got to stay in the moment.
I mean, it was kind of, I had it kind of easy because I don't have to make up some personality or pretend I'm someone I'm not really. I mean, I'm just kind of a tough, hard-nosed guy, and I've always had the good character off the field. So for me, it was a piece of cake, but I know some guys had a rough patch for a few meetings there.
And you may have written about this, you may have talked about this, but if not, for the fans here in Arizona that have seen you for so many years, the strangest thing that you were asked at the combine.
I'll give you two things. One of them, the first one was, it was like a real casual interview. It's like, oh, tell me about your family. Tell me about your background. Okay, now tell me the worst thing you've ever done off the field as a person. And then the second one was a scout pulled out an iPad, pulled out his watch. He said, okay, I'm timing you. You have 1 minute. Tell me all the things you can think of that you could use a brick for. And so it was like, okay, a brick. And you just have to totally think on your feet and try not to give as meathead answers as possible, which is, a weapon. I could break something with it. I could smash something with it. And so I was, lay down a foundation, build a house, paperweight. And so you're just rattling off, trying to basically show you how you think on your feet in like a high-stress situation. So sometimes you get some questions out of left field that aren't necessarily directly related to football, and guys aren't always prepared for that.
Yeah, it sounds like you're auditioning for Family Feud. Yeah, it's Trent Murphy with us for a couple of minutes. So you get through the odd questions, the Wunderlich test. How did that go?
It went great for me. I was like, being from Stanford, yeah. Being from Brophy Prep,
yeah.
That's something I'd be more well prepared in already. And the place I was training at in Florida, we actually did practice Wunderlich, and they had a strategy for the Wunderlich, so I was even more prepared. So I could hear some of the other guys kind of moaning and groaning about it in the room, but I was just flying through it. So it was excellent. I was got close with a player from Princeton, actually, at IMG in Florida where I was training. And so we were kind of joking that we were going to have the battle of brains and we were going to duel it out on the Wunderlich and see who did better. So we didn't get the score yet, but hopefully I got him on it.
Was it like a seventh grade test for you, fifth grade test? Was there any part of it at all that you're like,
there's some, it gets hard. There's 50 questions, it's 12 minutes, and it gets like progressively harder as you go along. And so some of the math questions and stuff are harder, but you really don't want to get like hung up on the math questions because it'll take longer than 15 seconds. So you don't get penalized for guessing wrong, and there's probably like 10 to 15 math questions total. So you do the ones you can, but then you just kind of skip over so you can finish the test and get all 50 because they don't necessarily care about the complexity of the question you answer. They just want to see the total number or volume of how many questions you got correctly. So you just kind of want to rattle through it.
Trent Murphy with Brad Sussmat, former Brophy Bronco, Stanford star, getting ready for the NFL draft. Was there any part of I wouldn't even say the combine, Trent. Has there been any part of the last couple of months of this journey from when you walked away from your last college football game to where you and I are talking today that you have not been or were not prepared for that you were like, wow, I didn't think that this would be quite what I'm going through right now? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And to be honest, no. Between my training at Brophy, we did literally Navy SEAL-esque training physically. We trained our minds mentally there. I was trained academically. The place I was training at IMG in Florida, we did everything once that we were going to see at the combine. So I've been so well prepared, and I've been able to just kind of be so confident in my preparation that there has been nothing that surprised me or nothing that I haven't been able to handle. And especially when guys are getting 3 hours of sleep every night at the combine, they're keeping you up late and guys kind of start falling off. And I almost kind of keep getting even stronger as guys start falling off and I see them kind of wither away. I'm like, oh, I got this. This is a piece of cake, and could kind of keep moving forward. And so, I've literally been training my whole life for this moment. So to not be able to kind of focus and finish now would just be, I can't even fathom that. So
yeah,
I've definitely been well prepared and I've just been embracing and enjoying it.
Yeah, you're coming right through my headphones like right now that you just want to go kill somebody on the football field. You're so geeked up. Like, you know that you killed it the last couple of months. But now we're sitting here talking with each other on March 6th, and you've got two more months of this. What's your gut tell you today, based on everything that you've gone through, of about where you're going to land on draft day? Do you have any clue? Not city-wise. I'm not talking about city, but you know what you did at the combine. You know what your numbers showed. You're seeing mock drafts. Anybody who says, I don't look at mock drafts, they're not being truthful. I'm not going to call you a liar to your face because you'd smack me. But do you have a gauge about where you think it's going to go for you on draft day?
Be honest, my wish list, I have all 32 teams on and I would love to go anywhere. I'd be
sure
more than happy. But from the gauge I've gotten and the numbers I've put up and kind of my position size and body weight and the impact I could have now, there's like seven or so teams in the NFL that all kind of run a similar defense to what we run at Stanford. And that's the 3-4 where I would still be playing an outside linebacker position. And so for whatever reason, a lot of the mock drafts and analysts, they all say, big frame, can put on a lot of weight, so he'll probably make the move to DN. That's where a team's going to want him to play. But teams have shown more interest in me as an outside linebacker, and that's where they want me to stay. They've seen me kind of beating up tight ends and setting edges on defenses. And And I think that's what they want and need in the NFL is more players, a lot more of those hybrid players. So as to what team, it's tough to say. I mean, I've talked to players that have gotten drafted high, and they said that the team that picked them actually showed no interest in them at the draft. And so
sure.
I don't know if it was their needs changed or if they were trying to throw off other teams as to they're like, I mean, their rivals of who they were interested in, so they wouldn't try and take it from them or what, how it all worked exactly. I'm still figuring it out myself, but
who are those who are those seven teams?
The Steelers, the Niners, the Saints, the Redskins. There's, I think the list kind of goes on there. So, but they're, the Ravens as well. And so they all kind of run a similar, 3-4 defense. And so that's by no means to say those are, that's where I'm going to go to one of those seven teams. But as far as, the position I played in college, that's probably most similar.
What about Arizona in all this? I mean, take the defensive side out. Have you gotten any feel at all from the Cardinals?
Actually, yeah, I was talking to one of my best buddies from Brophy, and he was asking me that yesterday, and I was like, he's like, I'm not trying to get my hopes up, but what did the Cardinals say? And, I mean, they were really interested in me and liked me a lot as a player and my character off the field and just kind of being a tough player all around. So, could land up in the hometown, never know. So we'll see.
Before I let you go, a couple other things. If football ended today for you, what would you do?
Well, I used to joke around and say I'd be a rodeo clown, bringing the rodeo back into it. But my major at Stanford was science, technology, and society, which is basically like entrepreneurship and business management. So I would likely try to use kind of the network and connections I've made in the sports world and join a startup or probably create my own startup with a team full of Stanford geniuses and go that route in the entrepreneurship world.
And last thing, your family. So Kaylee, I saw over at ASU kill it on the court, and your family on social media has just been backing you. This and in a big way, in a good way, okay? But can you talk a little bit about this dynamic of your family and where they are for you? Because they don't put up pictures of boyfriends and girlfriends and life experiences. They put everything up about Trent Murphy. And it's pretty cool to see this close-knit group.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm probably the most blessed when it comes to having a good family. And I mean, the scouts and all the coaches, they want to know about your family too. That was like the easiest no-brainer question for me to answer, just like how great of a family I have and how supportive they are. I mean, my support system is unbelievable, and they're all back home in Arizona. But yeah, I don't even know how they find all these articles. I don't tell them about the interviews or anything I do. And I mean, I'm sure when we get done here, someone recorded it and they're going to post it to Facebook.
Yep.
But no, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, they're so excited about this program. And I just know that, I mean, from a close-knit group of my family and everything I do is kind of a representation of us and want to make them proud and kind of do it right for the Murphy bunch there in Arizona. So,
yeah.
No, I mean, it's fun for all of us.
On one hand, I feel really good for you in that regard. On the other hand, the team that drafts you, that team shop will get cleaned out so quick with Murphy jerseys. I can already see it. Hey, I appreciate the visit. Hopefully we can catch up a time or two before draft day if that works for you. And I appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me here again. I always enjoy talking to you.
Not a worry, Trent. Thanks. Trent Murphy with us for a couple of minutes. Stanford Cardinal, former Brophy Bronco. When you talk to a kid like that, I'm trying to do an NFL interview because from a front office standpoint, I can see on tape, I can plug in on tape, I can say, what do you need to get better at? And he's going to say, well, I'm never where I need to be. That's the stock answer for any kid. I need to know what you just heard. Tell me about your family. Tell me about the Wunderlich. Tell me about how you're going to fit in, because I'm going to throw millions of dollars at you and I can't miss. And that's the intangible with a kid like that. He wants to be an entrepreneur in a startup. We've done that. Come on over. What do you think, Eric? If it doesn't work out.
Yeah, we need Stanford people to work with us.
Come on over. We can do that.
We need more brains for this operation.
We need some brains for this operation. Are you kidding me? Eddie Johnson joins us on the other side. We'll talk with EJ about Kevin Durant in town tonight. Always good to catch up with Jump Shot Eddie Johnson, Suns analyst. Things around the NBA, too. Goody at the Movies in about 15 minutes. And Tom Verducci, senior writer, Major League Baseball Network, Fox Sports, with Sports Illustrated. He's here at the Cactus League today. He'll join us in hour two. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. It is a very, very good Thursday. This weekend, I have to, and we'll have Eddie Johnson here in about three, 4 minutes. This Saturday night, I have to be an escort for my daughter, my senior daughter in high school. Eric, have you met Brenna before? Have you met my daughter before?
Not for a really long time.
Yeah, she's grown up and out a little bit. That's the only way I'm going to put it. So she's the one that's going away on a soccer scholarship to Chicago. And part of her senior deal is Saturday night, I'm going to what they call the Chandler Flower Girls. And it's a black tie event. I have to wear the tux and get all done up. And I have to be her escort. And I have to waltz with her. And we have to have a dinner together. And it sounds like a really annoying time on Saturday night because there's a lot of sports going on. Just hang out with my 18-year-old daughter and have to walk her out on the dance floor with 200 other guys and their daughters. There's nowhere else that I'd rather be. I'm very much looking forward to that. And then Sunday she goes to Haiti. She's going to Haiti for a week. She's going to take some soccer stuff down there and work with some kids in orphanages down there. So, man, I am blessed doing my thing. And on the sports end of things, it made me think of this story. You are going to hear quite a bit about this story as the day progresses about Lewis Corbett. Lewis Corbett, and I'll just read the story, the backstory here, and why you're going to hear all about it. Lewis Corbett is 12 years of age. And Lewis Corbett knows that one day he's going to become blind because of a rare degenerative eye disease. His parents, trying to help him fulfill a visual bucket list before he loses his vision, which may happen soon because of retinitis pigmentosa. It's been accelerated. He's slowly losing his vision, and he is 12. He loves the Boston Celtics. He wants to see a game. So there's some people that heard about his story, including the wife of the Celtics co-owner. And so she put in motion the ability for him to go see the Celtics. They paid for the trip. The Celtics got tickets for a Warriors game next to head coach Brad Stevens. Before the game, the kid was able to go see Rajon Rondo, because he's going to lose his vision here pretty quick. The father says meeting Rondo turns the kid red. The kid kept smiling. During a break in the action, the Celtics brought him to half court. PA announcer shares the story. Crowd stands and cheers. Cheers grow louder than it did at any point of the night. So he's getting a standing ovation just like his idols did that he was able to see. You know, when I saw this story, I got teared up. And I've just noticed on social media, it started picking up some steam today. And there's been some video now that's come out on it, too. Man, we do what we do, and it's a lot of fun, but for an NBA team to step forward like that and make that type of impact and make that type of difference, it doesn't matter that the Celtics are awful. Doesn't matter. That's the beauty of sports. There's a lot of things around sports that I really like, and I can sit here and rant and rail about all the negative stuff, and some days I do. Some days it just overwhelms me, all the nonsense that's out there. But when you see what the Boston Celtics did with this kid, this young man, before he loses his vision, before he loses his sight, that's something else. That is something else. The Suns play Oklahoma City tonight on the court. Now, the Suns are talking about Eric Bledsoe being back within a week. By next Wednesday, they're going to get Eric Bledsoe back. And having Eric Bledsoe back, will they go through that period of adjustment, as we like to say? That period where, boy, they don't look quite right. It's one thing to play 3-on-3. It's one thing to play 5-on-5. Doesn't matter if the Suns get blown out tonight by the Thunder. They have every reason to. I think the Suns here in the last week or so, that they've started to A, hit the wall, B, they've played better teams, and those better teams have just taken care of business against them. So tonight, when you have the MVP of the NBA rolling on into town and Kevin Durant, it's more than that, though. Eric, I think as we watch the Thunder, don't you, I see this as a first-round playoff matchup if the Suns make it. Yesterday we had the question about, are the Suns going to make the playoffs or not? I don't think they're going to make it.
Let's hope not. This isn't the first-round matchup, because this isn't going to go well for the Suns if this is the first-round matchup.
But here's the thing. We have about, 19, 18 games left.
Yep.
And 10 of those games are against teams in the East, which are really bad. So you do the math, and they're sitting there tied today for the final playoff spot. They need to probably be at about, 13, 14 wins, 13 and 6, 14 and 5, something along those lines. And you would say that tonight is one of those nights where they're going to end up on the loss column side. Big Suns fans would say, oh, come on, Brad, be more positive than that. No, here's the thing. I'm a realist. I call it as I see it. If they're able to beat the Thunder, then everybody's pumped, psyched, and geeked for tomorrow. This is not a December game. This is not meeting Oklahoma City on January 10th and getting really, really excited about it, because those games to me are a dime a dozen and fans usually don't get all that amped up. A win tonight does send a message, because it's one of those games you're not expected to win. When they get Bledsoe back next week, what type of team will they look to be? What type of organization will they be on the floor? Will there be disorganization out on the floor? So far, they haven't had many nights where things have fallen completely apart for them. Tonight could be one of those nights. You know, when you have Kevin Durant in town and you have LeBron James in town, as LeBron was in town about 3 weeks ago, now Kevin Durant is in town tonight. Now, a lot of notes about where you at, Brad, on the LeBron versus Durant MVP conversation. Well, you still have about 18 games to go. I think Durant has done more for his team this year than LeBron does. I'm not being critical of LeBron James. He's the greatest player out there. But Westbrook wasn't around, okay? And so here's Eddie Johnson with us now for a couple of minutes. Suns analyst. EJ, of course, always has. You've got what? You're writing for Hoops Hype. You've got Jump Shot. You've got too many things going on. I don't want to leave anything out. But let's just start with the basketball part. Where are you at on MVP, Durant or LeBron, as we sit here on March 6th?
Before I say where I'm at, I'm just going to make this statement, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of got this scenario when Muhammad Ali used to fight. You know, he's the champion of the world, right?
Yep.
And rarely did anybody beat him by a decision. You had to knock him out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had to really beat him up.
I see where you're going
here.
You
had to knock him down, as Joe Frazier did, right, in New York. You had to knock him down, as he knocked out George Foreman to win the title. Right? Durant hasn't knocked LeBron out. You know, and that's the problem I have a lot of times with, you know, the prognostication of who's MVP, is the fact that he hasn't knocked him out. I mean, he hasn't, like, unequivocally just taken the MVP from him.
Did he do it
nothing
early?
Nothing LeBron can do.
Did he do it early in the year, though, EJ? I mean,
I don't know if he did it early in the year. Look at LeBron's numbers. I mean, at that time, Durant was doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
LeBron was shooting an insane 60%. And he was taking far less shots. And he was still averaging 27. And, you know, Durant's a better scorer. I mean, I think that's okay. We know this. But let's talk about leading your team. LeBron's haven't been having to win without Dwayne Wade most of the year. You know, people make the argument for Westbrook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, look, it's just apples and oranges for me. I love Durant. Don't get me wrong. I love watching him play. But I'm just from that old school thought of, I remember a few times when Michael Jordan didn't win MVP because people just got tired of him winning MVP. Then Karl Malone snuck in and he got it. Okay? A few years ago, people complained when Steve Nash got it, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's always going to be that mindset of who should win it. I mean, Derrick Rose was not the MVP of the year when he won it over LeBron. Come on now, please. And I like Derrick Rose, but I think Derrick Rose has gone from underrated to vastly overrated. He shouldn't have won that MVP from LeBron. But people just get tired of guys winning it, and they want someone else new, and Durant's obviously that guy. I mean, even early in the year, they tried to give it to Paul George.
No, I know. That was ridiculous.
And I laughed about that.
That was ridiculous. Well, it's like Carmelo. I mean, when I hear this Carmelo MVP stuff, come on, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you joking?
And I'm just saying, because they don't want him to win it. They're tired of winning it. And that's the culture of sports. they don't, people don't appreciate greatness. And then when that person's gone, then they miss it. And I'm not that person. I appreciated Michael Jordan. I watched all of his games. I watched all of LeBron's games. Because I want to appreciate the fact that here's a guy that's very much maligned, but he plays the game the right way, extremely unselfish. You know, and for him, it was almost like a stretch to want to get 60 because that's not in him. And so he had to shoot an insane field goal percentage to get it done. And yet he's having one of his better years, even better than last year statistically. And people say, well, you know, Durant has it hands down. And Durant's having a marvelous year. I'm not saying anything to that. Yeah. But he hasn't knocked him out.
No.
And I go with that analogy of you've got to knock the guy out.
He's in the conversation, though. It's not much of a conversation. Yeah. It's not much of a conversation. But it's like Mike Tyson when he'd walk into the ring and it'd be over within a minute or two. I get where you're going with this, and I understand that.
Yeah.
When you see Durant, though, on the court tonight in person, and you're sitting there watching greatness in action, is it true greatness in the same level of LeBron, or is there just, in your eyes, because you have the sharp eye there?
Oh, no. It's there. He's a great player. No, he's a great player. And like I said, his apples and oranges. I mean, the year that he's having is unreal. The way that he's scoring the basketball and now distributing and rebounding and just being an overall leader. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is just a pleasure to watch. And I've told him that every time I've been in his presence. And so this is nothing against Kevin Durant. This is just me saying that I'm watching LeBron James, who is the best player in the world, and having a tremendous year, is that nobody's knocked him out. You know, I think that's how the voting should always go now, because Derrick Rose didn't knock LeBron out when he won it. I mean, the Bulls had some success, but come on. I mean, LeBron showed it when he locked them down in their playoff series that year.
How about
that's what I'm just talking about, and I just think people just get caught up in that too much.
No. And I'm one of those. I think it's
I know.
Over the head with a brick, okay? I'm fine. I can handle it. It's all right. Still love you. Eddie Johnson with us, Suns TV analyst. Tonight it is Suns and Thunder. Before I get you out of here, and I got two things for you. Are we starting to see the Suns circle the drain? What do you think, EJ? I'm hearing
we talked earlier in the year, and I told you. I said, you know, the scary part about what the Suns were doing when they were winning like that was that they were winning with energy. You know, they were outworking people. And in the NBA, before it's all said and done, as the season winds down and that marathon comes to a close, right?
Yeah.
Then teams that normally have the quote-unquote superstars, you know, the guys that can go to the extra level, the guys that can get you 12 points in the fourth quarter, they'll hit the big bucket, they're gonna find a way to win the game. And that's what separates the good teams from the great teams, is that, you know, you have that kind of separation where the star can kind of take over and get their team the victory, because most NBA games are going to come down to the last few minutes. And so for the Suns, you know, that's the challenge, is, okay, do we have that guy that can step it up late in the game and carry us, that we can give the ball to, and not only can he score, but can he facilitate? Can he get to the foul line? Can he do all of those things? And, yeah, Goran Dragic has stepped up, and he's done it at times. Gerald Green has done it at times. You know, Bledsoe did it at times when he was here. And so they've gotten it from a number of people. Markieff Morris has done it. So, you know, they've gotten it from a delegation of players. But when it's all said and done, you know, there's always that one player that sticks out, or that second player that sticks out. And Oklahoma City has it, obviously, in Durant and Westbrook, and the Clippers have it in Paul and Griffin. And you know, the Spurs have it in Parker and Duncan or Ginobili. Wade and LeBron.
Yeah,
you know, the Pacers now with George, and whether it's Hibbert or West.
The Suns just don't have that player. And
that's the difference.
It's fine. It's fine.
And getting to that ultimate level and dealing with an 82-game season.
How's your book doing, you big dummy?
It's doing well. I mean, I have a big speech this weekend, you know, about 250 people. I can't remember the church that I'm going to, so I'm not going to guess.
No. You're going to church. That's important.
A friend of mine, ASU alum, not alum, but supporter. Jerry Gilbert is going to have me there speaking to 250 dads and their kids, and, And that's what I want to do with the book. I'm trying to, you know, my goal is next year, I'd love to get into every high school before the season starts, get every athlete in that school in an auditorium, and just conduct what I do when I go out and talk to groups. It's about an hour presentation, and it's visual, and I think it's informative. And so that's my goal. That's what I'm working on, man. I enjoy doing it. I just want to help athletes. I want to help people in general just to become better and how to conduct themselves off in and out of the office or off the playing surface. And you know, it's just a goal of mine. Hopefully I'll get it done.
Appreciate the time as always, EJ. Thanks.
No, thank you, guys.
Eddie Johnson, Suns TV analyst, with us for a couple of minutes with Brad Sussmat. Goody at the Movies on the other side. Stay with us.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, weekend is right around the corner. You want to go to the movies. You want to head out and about. We talk TV. We talk media. We talk all things. Bill Goody-Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. It's always good to have Bill on the show when I read on Twitter that he's grumpy. Bill Goody-Kunz, 6 minutes ago, thanks, dude in hazmat suit, goggles and mask, spraying chemicals into a tree and into the wind as I drove by. Thus, is your throat closing? Are you about to die on me?
I'm going to try to avoid the doctor's office and emergency room today. You know, but this, I was typing that up, and it reminded me. And nobody believes me, but I swear this is true, because I was talking to an old friend that I found on Facebook about this the other day. When I was a kid in Radford, Virginia, in the summer we'd ride our bikes all around the neighborhood like every other kid. Well, a couple times a week, there was a truck that came by that shot out DDT.
Hmm.
And we followed the truck on our bikes. And it's like, what is, you know, how does this happen? And what, I mean, and what is going to be wrong with us, you know?
Yeah, I'm beginning to connect the dots now.
Things are starting to make sense.
A lot of things are making a lot of sense now. Oh, okay. Bill was that guy. All right, before we get into what's coming out this weekend, anything Oscar-related that you would like to get in and get off your chest from the show or the follow-up to the show or the future of the show?
I don't know. I mean, you say I'm cranky today. I'm probably always cranky. But the,
yes, you
but
are.
But
that's
I'll tell
why
you, when
like
I get,
you,
when I really get cranky, it's when I'm on a tight deadline and I'm watching a show that is padded with so much fat that, I mean, people don't like to watch it. It's you don't have to be on deadline to feel like the Oscars drag in the middle. They always give a supporting actress award right up front. Oh, great. You know, man, now we got things rolling. It was 90 minutes until they gave another acting award away.
Wow, you sound grumpy.
No, but I mean, didn't you feel that way? I mean,
yes, I walked out. I went and did other things. I was just like, hey,
and missed nothing.
Look, the pizza box that rolled in that had the Coca-Cola ad on it, even though Pepsi was the sponsor, now there's buybacks. I thought that was entertaining. You know, that there was the selfie that they actually practiced the selfie. Come on. I mean, all the
which
nonsense.
Was an ad for Samsung. The thing, and you know, it's supposed to, and I like Ellen DeGeneres. I think she's got,
you want her back?
I've had lunch with her. I didn't think she was good this time. That's a thankless job. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that's really hard to do.
I think she knows she wasn't good because the stuff that was written was crap. But do you want her back?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who I want instead is the problem. You know, Jon Stewart, I love Jon Stewart, but he wasn't a great host. He was a good host. I liked Letterman, but everybody hated him, and he hated himself. He still makes fun of his appearance. I don't know. But the problem with me was they gave away the Best Actress Award. You could have watched, I think, about 6 or 7 of the Best Picture nominees in the time that it took to give away another acting award.
Wow.
And now that I think about it, I should have said that on Twitter. You know, if you haven't
very
caught
smart.
Up on her yet, here's a good time. You know?
It's very smart. All right, so that's behind us. Now looking to this weekend. Yeah, and he shudders.
Can we look
there's
back?
There's nothing good more. Coming out. So, no, is this the weekend that people that watch the Oscars, because a good majority of the people did, that they didn't see any of these movies, that they now go see these movies? Is that what happens this weekend if there's nothing good out there?
Yeah, it's supposedly it bumps them about 37% to get nominated, I think, something like that. The problem with a lot of them is you can't find them, you have to rent them on DVD. But that, I mean, it's a huge boost for that, of course. And I think that after, you know, if you, it didn't win anything, but if you see that American Hustle got, you know, an acting nomination in every category, that might pique your interest. If you see that Dallas Buyers Club had winners in Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor, you might think, yeah, you know, maybe I should, you know, I will watch this movie if you promise that Matthew McConaughey will not come to my house and speak again.
What did you make out of McConaughey and the criticism of him expressing his faith? We don't see that very often. We hear, was it the very first speech, and he's I'm blanking, where he, it wasn't McConaughey, it was the first speech of the night.
Jared Leto.
Yeah, that was a terrific speech. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with McConaughey. I don't care either way. It doesn't matter to me. Just don't go on and on and on with it.
Right. I mean, McConaughey got kind of weird. Like, you know, who's my hero? Myself 10 years from now. It's like, I was sitting there, and again, I was on Deadline, but I was saying, I honestly don't even know what that means.
And he's kind of weird. He was kind of weird, Bill, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I haven't dealt with him like you have recently, but man, he showed up shorts, T-shirt, no shoes, smelled bad, was living on the beach. I mean, he was just kind of a grunge guy a while back when I did some things.
Yeah, he got it together.
He got it together, sure.
And he always had the talent. I mean, I think everybody, you know, I don't think that was in question. It was just like his choices. But, you know, you talk to a lot of these guys. It fascinates me. It really does. I talk to actors all the time, and you'll ask them this. It's like, why were you in this movie? You know, you try to think of a nice way to say it, but it's like, why would you pick something like this? And they'll tell you, that was not the movie I signed on for. Like, I signed on for something else, and it changed. Because a lot of stuff does change. And I think that's so interesting that, like, and we should feel this way, but the audience gets in there and you think it's a finished product. This is how it was. They went in there, they did it in one take, and this is how it went, you know? and it doesn't, of course. And you see that. Sometimes you'll see outtakes and stuff. But I don't know. I just thought that this was, and we've discussed this before, all nine movies were really good. I mean, there was not a dog in that bunch. And I don't think that was celebrated enough, if at all, during the Oscar ceremony. Instead, as someone pointed out on Twitter, like when they're showing these montages of heroes and movies and stuff like that, not only do they have a clip from The Karate Kid, it's not even The Karate Kid, it's Karate Kid 2.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Bill Goodykins with us, Goody at the Movies. Okay, so
I was not that cranky before we got me all started.
Well, I know how to push your buttons, I guess. So what I'm wondering is then, if there's nothing good this weekend that's really caught your eye, then let's go big picture for the year. What are you hearing that has early Oscar buzz that is coming at some point this year? Because you hear of movies that are rolling out, things that are going to come out.
Well, I'll tell you two things. One is, a big contender will be one that nobody's heard of yet, because that always happens. It'll be something that does really well at Toronto in September or something like that, and everybody will get on the bandwagon for that. That always happens. You think of Her, it got nominated, it won for Best Screenplay. Nobody heard of it until about December, you know. But a movie coming next week, actually, the problem is it's too much of a comedy, but I think that might actually get some, if people have long enough memories, it could get some attention, which is the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I've seen the previews for this.
Yeah, and it's terrific.
Dench, right?
Everybody's in it. Rafe Fiennes, who I spoke to, and I expected to be this, you know, very erudite British guy, you know, quoting Shakespeare or something. He turned out to be really like, sort of a regular dude, just like with a really nice British accent. but he's in it, and he's really funny, and which you don't usually think of him as being, but he really was. And I just felt like that movie is one that I really hope people got to see. And another movie that's coming out next week that you need to do some catching up on potentially is Veronica Mars. And that was, of course, it was a TV show on the CW, which was CBS's little kind of little sister network.
Right.
No, I'm sorry, Warner Brothers. And then the network got canceled, not the show. So Veronica Mars went to UPN, which is also no longer around. But it was a really cool show called you know, starring Kristen Bell. It went away. And as they always do, fans are like, oh, let's make a movie. And yeah, well, they always do that. But Rob Thomas, who's the creator of it, and Kristen Bell, the star, got on Kickstarter and said, hey, if we can come up with $2 million, Warner Brothers will make this movie. They got it in 10 hours.
Wow.
And they ended up with more than $5 million. And I've seen it, and if you like the show, and I like that show a lot, I recommend it. I believe it's available on Amazon Prime. Go back and read. Do your due diligence and at least watch a few episodes, because if you do, I think you would really like it, Prince. I mean, it's really smart. It's really clever. And it's she's in high school, and it, not anymore in the movie. She's graduated from college. But it's really tough to make those high school shows where there's not condescending to a kid, or you don't try to sound like a parent who's really hip, you know, and it's like, you know, imagine like when your parents used to talk to you about music or something.
Yeah, and speaking of music, the music is going to be playing here in a second. So we're going to pick this up further down the road. I'll
it's
let
like
you
the Oscars.
That.
I'm going to get played off.
Yeah, no, that's right. Your time is up. Your time is up. They're giving me the hook. Thanks. There's Bill Goodykunz, Goody at the Movies. Goody joins us every week. AZ Central columnist and, of course, chief film critic for Gannett. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports360AZ.com. Plenty of content on Sports360AZ and, of course, on AZ Central, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Next week, Eric and I are going to Las Vegas. We're going to stay in a great spot. We're going to head on up and have everything figured out, and we're going to go to the games and have some fun and do some shows. And I know General Manager Tim Hovick told me he's going to Vegas too, going to be up there for the Pac-12 tournament. Tim goes to a lot of the sporting events, sells a lot of Fords, okay, new and used. He's very involved with the Diamondbacks. He's very involved with the Sun Devils. He's very involved with the Cardinals. You want to do business with people that are supporting the hometown teams. And that's what Tim Hovick, the general manager, has done, and his staff there at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. That's Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Sports360AZ.com. On Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. On White Mountain Radio, and of course, AZ Central. If you've not checked out Sports360AZ, the recruiting roundup is up. That's one of our more popular features. It's high school football recruiting. We put video to it. Jason Jewell from scout.com. A lot of people love checking out the recruiting roundup. Sports360AZ.com. Off we go into hour number two. Brad Sussmat, good Thursday. Sports360AZ.com. Arizona-centric on Sports360AZ. Of course, we're on AZ Central as we partner up with the Arizona Republic. And on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. So the Suns, I'll give some news there on the Suns in a minute for their game with Oklahoma City. We'll have some news on that here shortly with an injury to Miles Plumlee. But first, Tom Verducci is with us. Tom Verducci, Sports Illustrated, Major League Baseball writer, a senior writer for SI, and he's now part of the Fox, Big Fox team. He is going to be in the booth this year with Harold Reynolds and Joe Buck doing the play-by-play, Tom Verducci with Brad Sussmat. What is going to be the most difficult part of your job, Tom, in the role that you're having now with Fox TV?
That's a good question. You know, I've been doing games on Fox the last couple of years, so the workload's about the same. I think the difference is now it's a three-man booth. What I'm really excited about is I've known both Joe and Harold for many years and actually had a lot of reps with Harold on the desk at MLB Network. So I feel like going in, there's already some good chemistry and definitely a comfort level between the three of us. So I'm actually looking forward to having a lot of fun with the three of them.
Do you talk the baseball side or the backstory side? Is there a little bit of a combination of both in your role?
Well, it's definitely a combination of both. I mean, the last couple of years when I've been doing games as an analyst on Fox, obviously it's been a two-man booth, and I haven't had the former player next to me. So I'm more than prepared to cover both the, you know, the game in between the white lines, the backstories, and everything in between. So it's nice, though, having Harold and give that player's perspective right next to me when it's called for. So I think it's a good combination. I think we both bring, you know, something a little bit different, complement each other well, and hopefully the fans will enjoy basically sitting down listening to us like they're listening to a couple of guys just talking baseball.
Tom Verducci, Sports Illustrated senior writer, Fox MLB, with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. All right, let's get down to brass tacks here. Most interesting storyline, you're here in the Cactus League. You just left the Cubs, which I think is a train wreck. You're heading over to the Diamondbacks. They just lose Bronson Arroyo for a couple of weeks with a disc injury. From your view, most interesting storyline out here in the Cactus League as you bump around?
Well, to me, it's probably the Dodgers because of the money they've spent and the talent on their roster. Teams and people around the game are looking at the Dodgers as the team to beat. And they should win the NL West and maybe even the National League, although I still like the Cardinals and the Nationals, and Braves will be right there too. But I think just the star power on the Dodgers and also the drama associated with that team, which can cut both ways. It can definitely help the team. They say they like the expectations. But when things start to go sideways a little bit, how do they hold that team together? The situation with four outfielders in three spots, Yasiel Puig and kind of the growing pains he goes through on and off the field. And now with Clayton Kershaw coming off a huge contract extension, Frankie behind him, set back early in spring training with a minor injury. But I think all eyes are on the Dodgers, and they say they like the expectations on them. We'll see how it plays out.
More interesting to you, Puig or Pujols here in spring training?
Well, to me, it's Puig, actually, because Albert, I think, is going to have a good year as long as he's healthy. I mean, he's a guy for me that never played a day healthy last year. That foot was never right. He tried to play through it. And listen, I'm not saying Albert's going to get back to the MVP levels we saw a few years ago in St. Louis, but I do think this guy is a pure hitter. And even given a little bit of a decline, even given his age, even coming off the injury and some rust, I just think as long as he's healthy, and so far he is, he's going to have a very good bounce-back season. Again, MVP year, no, I'm not saying that, but I think he can get back to a 30-home run guy with 100-plus RBIs. So I think he's a little bit more of a known, actually, than Puig. I think Puig is just a fascinating player to watch because the upside is so high, but yet you see he's not a polished player yet, and he's going through a lot of growing pains. And he's already had some shoulder issues in spring training this year. Keep an eye on that. But I think he's one of the five most intriguing players just to watch because you just never know what's going to happen next, whether at bat, on the bases, or even defensively.
Tom Verducci, Fox Major League Baseball, this coming season with Harold Reynolds and Joe Buck, Sports Illustrated senior writer with Brad Sismat. He's bumping around here in the Cactus League today. A couple other questions. I'll let you go and appreciate your time. The Dodgers are a lightning rod for sure. The team down the street from them, the Angels, I talked about Pujols. You have the Josh Hamilton story. You have Socha's future. DePoto comes in from over at the Diamondbacks. You know, the Angels at a point in time, Tom, had a lot going for them. And I look at them now and wonder what direction they're going to go.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, it's a team that there does have a lot of pressure on it. Maybe not the expectations that the Dodgers have, but in terms of at least getting that team to the postseason, I think there is a lot of pressure on the general manager and the manager. And quite frankly, I don't think they have enough as they're constituted right now to be a postseason team. I mean, I look at that starting rotation, and outside of Jeff Weaver and C.J. Wilson, I just don't see there's enough guys where you can say, this guy's going to give us 30 starts in 200 innings, or close to 200 innings. It's just not enough reliability, certainty in that rotation for me. As a baseball fan, I'd love to see Pujols, Hamilton, and Mike Trout play an entire season healthy together to see what can happen. You know, we have not seen that yet. So even if that happens, I'm not sure they're a playoff team because I just don't know that they have enough starting pitching. Now, maybe they go out there and they fix it over the course of the season, maybe early on, because as I said, there is a lot of pressure on that team to produce a postseason team out of this group they have there. But I think they've got an uphill battle in a really tough division. Right now, I've got them behind teams like Texas and certainly Oakland, which is a really strong team.
Before I let you go here, a couple things on the Diamondbacks. You talk about pressure with the Angels. Gibby was given an extension. KT was given an extension. And yet, when I had Ken Kendrick on last week, the owner of the team, he left the door open saying, you know, obviously we've extended them. Now I can be a fan. But I've got to make tough decisions if things don't go well. Paraphrasing the quote from him, but I still believe there's a short leash on those two, even with the extension. What do you make out of the Diamondbacks' big picture right now?
Yeah, I still think they're committed to those two. I'm not sure it's a make or break year right now. Certainly, they want to see progress. I think maybe with the second wild card in each league, it's actually put some added responsibility on general managers to get their team through the postseason, or at least close to it, because let's face it, the bar has been lowered. You can get in now with about 88, 89 wins into the postseason play. But I like the Diamondbacks team. I'm not sure how this season plays out for them. I do think they have a higher upside this year than they've had in the last couple of years. Maybe a kid like Archie Bradley could be the equivalent of, say, what Michael Wacha was for the Cardinals last year. Even if you don't see him in an opening day rotation, you could see him over the course of the season at certainly some point, and can make a really big impact because he's got the potential to be a number one starter. I mean, that's a nice card to have to play at some point in the season. But I do think this will be a better team, a tough division. I think the Giants are going to have a bounce-back season as well. But I wouldn't say it's a make or break season for this group, but I do think they really do need to show some progress. They've made a lot of changes to this roster. And now you have to let this team, I think, as constituted, play out and see where it can take you.
Appreciate the time. Appreciate the visit, Tom. Thanks.
Thank you.
Tom Verducci with us for a couple of minutes. One of the best in the game. The lead analyst for Fox Baseball this year on the show today. Good to have Tom Verducci along with Harold Reynolds. Co-lead, I guess I should say. Is that right, Eric? Something like that? I don't want to shortchange Harold Reynolds.
Yeah, nice something guy. Like that. It's just a title.
Be with Joe Buck this year, too. They'll do a great job. So the Suns, here's what's going on in the world of sports, brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. You can fly on out of Gateway. Yeah, take that flight on out of there. Gateway gets you at over 40 different locations. And Gateway, it's just plain easy. Just go to justplaineasy.com to make your reservations for wherever it is you're wanting to go. Maybe it's next week to the NCAA, the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas. Gateway flies. You can take Allegiant right out of Gateway up to Las Vegas. Maybe it's up to the Bay Area, other locations too. There's over 40 locations that Allegiant will fly you to through Gateway. It's Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. Appreciate their support through the years. They've been a big part of what we do here at sports360az.com. So the Suns tonight are starting Alex Len. Miles Plumlee is not going to play tonight because of a knee. You know, Oklahoma City has won 11 straight in this matchup. In fact, Oklahoma City has won the last six here in Phoenix. And they should, because the Suns the last few years have been awful. And while they're better this year, much better this year, this is still an Oklahoma City team that should be playing in the NBA Finals right there alongside the Miami Heat, or maybe it's the San Antonio Spurs. So we'll have the Suns in Oklahoma City tonight. I thought last night U of A looked tired, fatigued. Oregon State was playing desperate for their coach. Wasn't big on how Oregon State was coached up last night, especially late in the game. Some wild stuff jacked up. And U of A didn't get after it on the glass. That's one of those things where they already know they're the one seed next week at the Pac-12 tournament. They already know they're going to be in March Madness. This is spending a weekend in rainy Oregon. How are you going to fight through that? So I get that. Today in Tucson, it is Pro Day. The NFL scouts are in Tucson watching Kadeem Carey today. And, of course, tomorrow it's ASU's Pro Day. We'll be out at that, and I'll have some thoughts on U of A's Pro Day later on sports360az.com. Trent Murphy joins me on the other side. Stanford Cardinal, the former Brophy Bronco, going to be a first-round pick. He was a wrecking ball at the Combine. I'm going to get into it with him on some things other than just on the field, because that's what these NFL teams want to know about. Trent Murphy joins me next, then Eddie Johnson, Bill Goodykoontz, and much more as we roll on.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.